Savas Salam, Volume 3, Volume, page 213. What is the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us in the work. The writing says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all these words of this law. We have to understand what that knowledge gives us. Could anyone think that the sacred thing belongs to man to know? And if we can know the concealed, why did God conceal it from us? And furthermore, we have to understand, what are the concealed things? What does it imply that we should not inquire, but that it belongs to the Lord our God? About the words, when you rise the candles, Rashi explains that when you rise, meaning that the flame rises high, you have to light it until the flame rises by itself. We have to understand what it tells us, that we have to light it until the flame comes up by itself. Certainly if the candle doesn't light as it should, but that it lights as long as man lights it, certainly we have to wait until it lights by itself. So what novelty does it tell us by telling us that we have to wait until the flame rises by itself? In the Ma'ase Menorah, it says, this is the tale about the lamp that was made of gold. And Rashi explains, asks, a piece of gold, there was a piece of gold, and he hit it with a hammer and cut it with scissors to spread its parts as they should be. And it was not made parts and parts by connection. That's how he made the lamp. Rashi explains, it was done by itself by the Creator. We have to understand, if it was done by itself, why did they have to hit it with a hammer and cut it with scissors? But certainly, if the Creator made that lamp, there should have been enough gold, and it would have been done by itself. Why did they have to hammer it? We know that man's nature is that he wants only to receive for himself. And he cannot do anything if he doesn't see that there's something in it for him. And this is, as the Holy Zohar says, the horse leech has two daughters, give, give. And the Zohar explains that the horse leech has two daughters that shout like dogs, howl like dogs, or bark like dogs. Give, give. Give us the wealth of this world and the wealth of the next world. Meaning that everything that man sees, that he can, whatever pleasure he can get out of something, he shouts about that, give, give. Meaning, give, give, I take it in mind and heart. And we are given the commandment of the love of God. As it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. But how can we observe that? It is against our nature. A sage has said about the words, and he rose from Seyu, meaning, give, give, I take it in mind and heart. And we are given the commandment of the love of God, as it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. But how can we observe that? It is against our nature. A sage said about the words, and he rose from Seir onto them, that he opened to the sons of Esau to receive the Torah, and they didn't want it. Came from the Mount Paran, who walked there, and presented it before the sons of Ishmael to accept it, and they didn't want it, meaning that, that they all asked, what's written in it? Esau didn't want it because it says, thou shalt not murder. And for Esau it says, by thy sword shalt thou live. And also the sons of Ishmael asked, what does it say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. They didn't want it. Whereas when it came to Israel, they said, we shall do and we shall hear. And we have to understand, is the evil inclination in the people of Israel, does it agree to give up the evil inclination? So what is the meaning of we shall do and we shall hear? And we have to interpret that when the people of Israel saw that their evil was against the Torah, meaning that they don't want to observe the commandment of the Torah, then they said of this world and the worth of the of next world, or the next world, meaning that everything that man sees, that he can, whatever pleasure he can get out of something, he shouts about that, give, give, meaning give, give, I take it in mind and heart. And we are given the commandment of the love of God, as it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. But how can we observe that? It is against our nature. A sage said about the words, and he rose from Seir, meaning, give, give, I take it in mind and heart. And we are given the commandment of the love of God, as it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. But how can we observe that? It is against our nature. A sage said about the words, and he rose from Seir unto them, that he opened to the sons of Esau to receive the Torah, and they didn't want it. Came from the Mount Paran, who walked there, and presented it before the sons of Ishmael to accept it. And they didn't want it, meaning that, and that they all asked, what's written in it? Esau didn't want it because it says, thou shalt not murder. And for Esau it says, by thy sword shalt thou live. And also the sons of Ishmael asked, what does it say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. They didn't want it. Whereas when it came to Israel, they said, we shall do and we shall hear. And we have to understand, is the evil inclination in the people of Israel, does it agree to give up the evil inclination? So what is the meaning of we shall do and we shall hear? And we have to interpret that when the people of Israel saw that their evil was against the Torah, meaning that they don't want to observe the commandment of the Torah, then they said, we'll do it anyhow, meaning by force, although our evil doesn't agree. But we have to understand what value does a person who gives someone else something by force. Can you say that he gives it from love? He doesn't love him. So this is not the reason for the giving, because love is bought by giving one another good things. So by nature, the receiver of the giver begins to love the giver, the receiver of the gift. But it's not that the giver becomes the lover of the receiver by the gift. So what point is there here that the people of Israel said, we shall do it against ourselves, against the evil inclination, although the evil doesn't agree to it? So how can we observe by that, love the Lord thy God? Our sages said, when Israel said, we shall do it, we shall hear, the Creator said, who told that secret to my sons? A vessel that the angels use it. As it is said, you mighty in strength that fulfill his word, hearing unto the voice of his word. Meaning that the matter of doing is the mighty in strength, meaning overcoming, although the body, which has the nature of reception for itself, doesn't agree to that. And afterwards, by doing against the will, although the evil inclination doesn't want it, but afterwards you attain to hear the voice of his word, that the matter of hearing from me means explaining to me, as the sages said, I don't hear it, I don't understand it. And according to that, we understand about the words we shall do, we understand that this is overcoming by coercion. And afterwards we shall hear, meaning that it will be reasonable and acceptable to us. Meaning, when it is reasonable and acceptable to us, certainly we can do everything with love and happiness, joy. Then everything is willingly and not against our will. Now we can interpret the words, who told that secret to my sons? We have to understand what is the secret. When they said, we shall do and we shall hear. And he asked, who revealed that secret? But we also have to understand what is the secret in a work. A secret is something that is not revealed. But we have to believe that that thing is here. Meaning that there's a matter that we want and have to know the matter. And if we can't know it, it is not called a secret for man. And this is like a person who sees that two people speak to one another quietly. Simply, they don't want him to hear. But if they don't talk of him, he doesn't want to know what they speak. And anyhow, what they speak is not regarded as a secret that he might be interested in hearing. And even though they might tell him, he still doesn't want to hear it, since every man has his own business. But at the same time, when he thinks that they speak of him, then he wants to know what they're saying. That this is now a secret that they don't want him to know. And also in the work, there is that conduct. For example, when a person studies Torah, when he learns, he might say that the Torah is not a secret, something he didn't know. But on the contrary, the Torah tells him the judgments, how to observe the mitzvot, the commandments. But when he studies the tales of the Torah, or the tales of our sages, if he believes that the Torah speaks of him, and he doesn't know the connection between the Torah that he studies and himself, and he wants to know what's written there, that he wants to know, when he wants to know, it is called that he's now learning a secret. Meaning, for something to be called a secret, it takes two conditions. A, that he believes that they speak of him. B, that he'll be interested to know what the Torah speaks of him. In other words, what the Torah speaks about something that has to do with him. And only that way is it called a secret in the work. Now we can believe what the Creator said, who told that secret to my sons? That it'll mean, who told that secret of believing to my sons? That by doing against oneself, they'll attain to hear me. That what was before by force, by coercion, will afterwards be willingly. Turns out that doing is called faith. Meaning, by believing that after the doing, they'll attain hearing, therefore they were certain, even at the time of coercion, they did everything with happiness and love, because they knew they would attain hearing. Whereas the peoples of the world, the nations of the world, in the work, are called parts within man that do not belong to the part of Israel, but that they want to take everything in the external mind, what they understand, what they can reach, that the mind obligates them to do, and it tells them that they should do it. About that, they're willing to work, but not about faith, but not anything that has to do with faith above reason. Meaning that by their own reason, they see that you cannot come to the consolation, nullification of the will to receive by man himself. But you have to believe that if the Creator gave us this work, to work in order to bestow, certainly he knew that was possible. And only we, with our little mind, do not understand how such a thing can be, that this is actually a miracle. But the Creator certainly knew that we could reach that degree. And although we don't know how such things cannot be believed, that is called the nations of the world. But the Israel is called that they can overcome and believe above reason. Therefore, those who belong to Israel believe that the matter of bestowal is a secret to people, meaning that they don't know how to come to the power of bestowal, but they believe. Whereas the nations of the world, in man, they say that this is difficult thing, that it's not for us. Therefore, when they see that we are demanded to go with faith above reason, they have no interest in that, and they escape the campaign and say that this is too difficult for them. Therefore, the nations of the world and man did not want to take the Torah, because, as we learn, the acceptance of the Torah is in a way that is when a man dies in a tent. That our sages said, the Torah does not exist but in he who kills himself over it. Meaning that a person should nullify, cancel his own self-benefit and care only about the benefit of the Lord. And because of that, because nullifying his own benefit, the body does not agree to that, and to go with by way of coercion and to believe that by doing will attain hearing, that faith is not acceptable to the receiver. And that is the whole difference between the nations of the world and Israel. Now we can understand what we asked. What does that tell us? When they said that you have to light until the flame rises by itself. The thing is that lighting has to do with man. With man. Who has to perform an act. And as how much should he perform that act by way of coercion until the flame rises by itself? Meaning, by itself meaning without the action, the act of the lower one called coercion, but that he attains that God will give him the hearing. At that point, man does everything with joy and love and willingly, not as when he was doing it against himself, that the body objected it when he wanted to bestow to the Lord. Whereas now, he is, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, in both desires. That the evil inclination loves the Lord as well, because it nullifies against the Creator as a candle before the torch. And that's the explanation that a person has to light to do things until the flame rises by itself. Not by man's force, but by itself, meaning by the force of the Lord. And also, that way, we should interpret what we asked about what our sages said about the Maaseh Menorah, the tale about the lamp. And this is the tale about the lamp. It was made of gold, it was a piece of gold, and he hit it with a hammer and cut it with scissors to spread its parts and correct them. And it was not made bits by bits, by connection. And we asked, since they said shot, which is explaining simply, therefore he made that lamp. But by the Creator, it was done by itself. So what did they have to hit it with a hammer if God made that lamp, called by itself? So what does man have to do it as well? Do something as well. But man should say, we shall do and we shall hear. Meaning man should begin with the work against himself, and he should believe that he'll attain hearing. And since there is no light without a vessel, meaning the Creator does not give man the filling, if a person doesn't have that need for it, that God will satisfy that need. Therefore a person should begin, see that it's difficult, and pray to God to help him. Then he sees that everything is done by itself, meaning without man's help. So what man does in the story about the lamp, if God did everything, answer that we need man's deeds, since without man's doing, we would not have that knowledge that everything done is done by the Lord. But man would say that he himself could also come to perfection without God's help. But my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Whereas after a man has labored and toiled and did everything he could and did not move an inch, then he must say that God gave him that strength that he'll be able to do in order to bestow as a gift. Meaning that God gave man an authority to serve him. And that authority is called in what he gave him pleasure when he gives to the Lord. And by that we understand that he that there was a piece of gold. The body is called a piece of gold. As the Zohar says, the leech has two daughters that bark like dogs. Give us the wealth of this world and give us the wealth of the next world. And that body is called a piece of gold. Was hammered on. Meaning, any work that the body is done by Korison is called that he hits with a hammer and cuts with scissors. Meaning that each and every Korison that a person performs, it is as though he is sliced, he is cut off a piece of gold, meaning of the will to receive for himself. As it says, to part, to divide its organs as they should be, meaning to strip the organs of the will to receive for himself and correct them in order to bestow. And that is called strip the organs as they should be. But it was not like that, meaning that it did not become one whole organ. One organ against one attribute in perfection. And afterwards, a second attribute in perfection. But one perfection was made for all, which is in order to bestow. And then, the connection of all the organs together into one big attribute. It was not like that, but on the contrary, each organ that wanted to be corrected, that he wanted to correct, the evil was revealed in its place and not the good. Therefore, he had many organs that were wrong. But after he's come to a situation where he saw that there's not a single organ in his receiver who is willing to work in order to bestow. And then he saw that it is all made of gold, meaning that he saw that the gold, meaning the receiver, that it's hard to turn it in order to bestow. Then the vessel was completed, meaning the action by the lower one, because he saw that he could not overcome it. And this is, as it is said, and the people of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and their cry rose up to God by reason of the bondage. And then came the help from God. As it says, that is how he created the lamp, made the lamp. That Rashi explains is done by itself. It turns out, who made that lamp? God himself. So what do I need the work of Israel for? The answer is to discover the need, to discover that only God can change the nature that he himself created, that in the creatures there'll be will to receive for himself. Otherwise man would think that he himself could turn the receiver into a giver. But that too we have to understand. Why does God care that the creatures don't know the truth and think that they themselves can make that action of turning the vessel of reception into a soul? Or we can ask it differently. Why didn't God give man strength to turn the vessel of reception into a soul by himself? Bar Sulam answers that this is a correction, because otherwise man would remain in his low degree, meaning he would not need the light of the Torah, and the Creator wanted to give them the Torah. Therefore, by them not being able to come to the vessels of bestowed by themselves, the ask of God to help them. And the help that he gives them is precisely by the Torah, because the light in it reforms. It turns out that man has a need to receive the Torah. Because the second phase, after a person is reformed and receives the vessels of the soul, which is the first phase, then he receives the Torah as the names of the Creator. Because this aspect is called his desire to delight the creatures, dressed in the names of the Lord, called the Torah and Israel and the Lord are one. Now we can interpret what it says. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the work of this law. And we asked, what does that teach us? The answer is that when a person goes into the work of his Torah, and he sees that he is not moving forward toward attaining the vessels of his Torah, but on the contrary, a person begins then to see his bad situation, how immersed he is in self-love. Because by the law, that to the extent that a person wants to have his clothing clean, then he sees more of the dirt. Because there's a rule that a person doesn't pay attention, that when a person doesn't pay attention to something, he doesn't see what needs to be done there, what is lacking there. Therefore, when he begins to work in order to bestow, and he pays attention to how much he's willing to work in order to bestow, then is the time when he sees that he is distanced from bestowal, and that he cannot do anything without reward. Therefore, what can a person do when he sees that he has no advancement in the work of bestowal, but he always sees that he cannot exit self-love, meaning that in the beginning of the work he thought that only if he decides to take the path of bestowal, immediately he can do it. Meaning that he thought that he was his own owner. Because who could tell him what to do? But here, in the work of bestowal, which is only the intent to bestow, meaning that he doesn't have to observe more than the 613 mitzvot if he wants to aim in order to bestow. So he does it outwardly like everyone else. And he is no exception that he can say that everyone objects to his way. Because who knows what is in one's heart. So he thinks that immediately after some time of work, he'll go into the work of his soul. And suddenly he sees that each and every day he gives more work in order to attain vessels of his soul. And then he sees that they're so distant from him that he doesn't have any ability to ever exit self-love. About that, the verse says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, meaning the aim to bestow, which is called the secret part. That a person doesn't know another person's thoughts. But man should know this, that the truth is that it is not up to us. But the concealed part called aim, that part belongs to the Lord our God, who should give us that strength, and we cannot help it. Whereas how can we help it? By beginning to work that work of bestowal, and seeing that we are incapable of exiting self-love ourselves. By that we help him. By knowing that only he can help us. And if we hadn't started, we could not have moved on. This is a correction, that we know that only he does everything. Whereas if we could exit self-love by ourselves, meaning that we would think so, and we would lack the knowledge that he alone has done, does, and will do all the acts, all the deeds. Whereas when we see for ourselves that we cannot exit self-love, then we don't have to believe that he gave us that strength, because we see it, we know it. It turns out that the writing tells us not to be frightened, because we cannot overcome our self-love, which is called the concealed part. And this is in the Creator's hand, as it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our sons, to our children. Meaning that revealed is called the action, part of action, that we can do by coercion. Therefore, the writing tells us that when we see that it is difficult for us, it is true. But that, meaning the intent, was not given for us to do, but the act alone. But by seeing that we cannot do it ourselves, that is called a prayer, meaning a need for God to give us that vessel. Therefore, we can interpret what our sages said. The tale about the lamb was hard for him, for Moses, until the Creator showed him with his finger. And as it says, this is the tale about the lamb. We have to interpret that in the work, that the tale about the lamb means that the light of God will shine. And for that, we need vessels of bestowal. And where will they take vessels of bestowal? It is difficult. It is against nature. And the Creator showed him with his finger and told him, this is the act. Meaning, you will do the act and I will give the aim. That it is called the revealed part you will do, and the concealed part I will give. This is what it says, that is how he made that lamp, meaning by itself. Rav's words. Rav Baruch wants to answer the question, why was reality created that way, that we are not at the end of correction already? Not in potential, not in attainment, not in understanding, double concealment, under confusion, complete detachment from all the reasons and understandings and forces. It is all in order. So that on the way to the correct situation, we acquire insights, vessels, without which we cannot feel our reality, our being in a good and corrected situation. But our way toward the goal builds us. And there's no other way that we can create, make that vessel to feel the end of correction. If it is not for us, that we are those vessels that actually begin to build ourselves from nothing, from scratch, up until the corrected situation. It's not that we can do anything, but we can recognize the necessity for correction. And who it depends on, and what is that correction? That's what we have to do, to discover. Is called the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, meaning in order to bestow the corrected situation. And the revealed things belong unto us and to our children, meaning that little by little we discover, and according to that, we absorb those new attributes, distinctions that are called vessels, and then we begin to go into spiritual situations until we come to the end of correction. That's the article, really. In each and every situation, according to how a person feels the necessity, the reasons for that situation, and what is his actual standpoint, that he doesn't know, that he's confused, he doesn't understand, he doesn't have the energy, his vessel is completely empty, lacking consciousness, strength, anything by himself. That's the point of Malchut. And he also discovers, on the other hand, the point of Keter. The Creator can and is able and is good and benevolent and is most desirable. When he discovers his point of Keter, of the situation, when he discovers those two things, contradicting things to the fullest, that is called that he is worthy of that degree in action. And then the Creator performs that concealed secret. But man has to prepare himself, meaning to discover those two opposite points, the importance the greatness of the Creator and the lowness of the creature. And again comes that question, what does the Creator need it? Or the creature needs it in order to feel the gap between those two points. Because in the gap between those two, we have the vessel. Torah is a strength that corrects man and strength that fills him. Torah is light. That light comes as a light for correction, as a light for filling. It is all called Torah. What man does, he performs the preparation called mitzvah. And the light that fills him as a result is called Torah. What do you want to know about that? The Creator gives man the force that corrects him, as much as a person discovers that he needs that correction, and that he needs to receive it from the Creator. What we call raising man. Raising man is the whole of the Shemot in thoughts that man feels that he turns with them to the Creator for correction. It's the whole of the Shemot in thoughts that man feels that he turns with them to the Creator for correction. A plea is not a plea. It is the accordance by the vessel to the upper one. And then the upper one fills up your vessel by the sameness with the upper one, you receive the light. But until you come to that situation, you can't understand what it is. Why does the will to receive, why doesn't it show in man by itself, but man has to make great efforts in order to open that will to receive so that he can see it? Because the will to receive that is revealed in man brings some pain to man. Because the will to receive is revealed, not the feeling, the desire, the need. So the will to receive cannot be felt by man if it brings only suffering. Man cannot tolerate it. But how much can we tolerate it? In one small degree. I can take my own will to receive between me and the next degree. If I could see all my will to receive from now to the infinite, it is suffering, a torment that we cannot even comprehend what it is. Now I just discovered the gap between me and the infinite, where there everything is full and for me everything is empty, but I feel just a little bit full. And for me, everything is empty. But I feel just a little bit. And then I don't think that my situation is all that bad. And then I can tolerate it. Man has shown his oppositeness from the infinite only to the extent that he can take it. And that is why it is divided into degrees. To the extent that I discover that gap between me and the infinite, between me and the infinite is really between me and the upper degree. To the extent that I discover that gap, I get a vessel. The vessel, attending the vessel, there are many conditions to it, three conditions, because it is a vessel that's worthy of receiving that spiritual feeling, a desire that is worthy of the Creator to satisfy. How? That need should be compatible with the Creator. In other words, with the same aim to bestow. So I discovered that I'm not working in order to bestow. How? That need should be compatible with the Creator. In other words, with the same aim to bestow. So I discovered that I'm not working in order to bestow. And the Creator cannot unite with me. So what can I do? I begin to realize that I have to correct myself. I can't correct myself. So I begin to realize that I have to turn to Him. When I have to turn to Him, I realize that to begin with, that things were already on His part. And by turning to Him, I begin to unite with Him already. And that unification is the purpose, is the goal. So, our situation, as much as we think of it, is the more opposite we see it, it is the more worthy on His part to begin with. And by turning to Him, I begin to unite with Him already. And that unification is the purpose, is the goal. So, our situation, as much as we think of it, is the more opposite we see it, it is the more worthy of connection and attainment of the goal. Our path is divided into many degrees because we cannot discover the gap between us and infinity all at once. We couldn't jump over that gap and do anything about it. Even as it is, when we first discover the will to receive in this degree, it seems to us like the Red Sea, something we cannot cross. Then, little by little, we begin to see that maybe it's possible somehow. Why is it possible? It's not that we get used to it. In spirituality, everything is relative forces. It becomes possible because of the surrounding light comes from above, and it gives us a sensation that it's not so bad, because against that will to receive, there are strengths that we can use. So some people escape when they fill that gap, and some people just go on a little bit, and they see that by perseverance and endurance, they see that it's not so bad. What is the difference between the Kabbalist who is in spiritual degrees, not attained of correction yet, and a Kabbalist that is not yet a Kabbalist, but is called a Kabbalist because he wants to be a Kabbalist? In other words, one that is already in working in order to be so, and another working in order to receive. The difference is the aim. We're talking about the person himself. It doesn't matter where he is, among people or among beasts. We're talking about how he relates to reality. How he relates to reality is the aim. You're looking at reality. I see reality. What is it? Cars, buses, people, houses. Does that change or doesn't it change? If I'm above the barrier or below the barrier. At the end of correction or at the first degree that now I started, you know, first lesson. Reality doesn't change. The bus and the house and the kids and women and the books and the group all stay the same. I change from in order to receive to in order to bestow. What else changes? We're now studying what are the secret things belong to the Lord. What is that secret? The aim. The difference between this world and the next world is the difference in the inner aim, how he relates to reality. And the reality is everything that he feels. That's it. But when you begin to see in the returning light, reality appears completely different. How reality appears to you, it appears differently. But it's objective. What does it mean that it appears differently? It's not like you can suddenly see the house or something else, something different. But its essence and the purpose of creation, you see it differently. That's how each thing you look at, it appears different. You'll discover in each thing the goal and how you can be aided by everything, that everything has a reason. The aim changes the reception. But all in all, that's all that changes. Be aided by everything, that everything has a reason. The aim changes the reception. But all in all, that's all that changes. Outwardly, nothing. Now you might say, but we learn that apart from me, there is the upper light, and the rest is illusion. So, is the capitalist in this world, can he see only the upper light, or can he also see the houses and kids and the group, friends, food, whatever? Or does he see that? Oh, does he see only the upper light that fills reality, and he's in that cloud of light? So, we're talking about. When we're talking about that light, we're not talking about our vision. We're talking about providence. That providence fills the whole reality and that it is all good. And it's not that houses and kids and animals and this universe disappears. The illusion is not the illusion that it exists or doesn't exist. The illusion is the aim. What it exists for. So you might ask more. We talked about having five senses, and only by them can we receive our reality. If we had other senses, we could see reality differently. Not our aim, but reality. What does it mean, different senses? What other senses can there be? Desires. That's what you say. Do our desires change? We have only five desires. When we have them, we feel. When we don't feel. So you're saying, I vanish from the body. The body dies. I exist only in my spiritual body. How do I feel reality? and do I feel through my spiritual body, do I feel the physical world? I don't have the senses anymore. Do I see the house? No. Do I see people? No. What do I see? How do I feel? What disappears and what doesn't? So we realize that these senses go according to the these things go according to the senses. Just as now, when you look at the world and you see the externality of things, the corporeal dresses, because your senses are only corporeal, add to that spiritual senses, you'll also see spiritual dresses that are in reality. In other words, spiritual vessels, according to your degree and below your degree. Above your degree, it'll all appear as light. The higher you climb, the less light. That light will shrink. The more a person rises, everything goes by the senses. When a person feels, it's not a lie. When he thinks that he discovered it, that's a lie. We're saying that everything is done only by the light. There cannot be a sensation in the will to receive if there's no light. Only from those contradicting things is the sensation created. The sensation is the gap between two things. That's what leads to the sensation. Our world remains exactly the same at the end of correction, because correction has to do with the aim to bestow, and not with the still and vegetative and animate. It has to do with speaking. It will affect reality in the way that this world will be better. And it'll also be better in the still and vegetative and animate. There'll be changes for the good, for the better. Will people still kill one another? I don't know. Maybe if it's for correction, maybe. Will you not slaughter the beast to eat it? Of course you will. I don't know about a friend. Everything is measured by the aim. I don't know about a friend. Everything is measured by the aim. If the Creator enjoys your slaughtering your friend, then you will. That's the only measurement bestowed to the Creator. I didn't say like that for no reason. You have to understand that the aim determines. That's it. The aim to bestow. The act itself, whatever it is, if such a thing, I don't know if it can exist, if it can be like that, but if the genuine aim to bestow, if it will necessitate that something will happen, then it'll happen. I don't want to say anything more about that. I don't want to even think about the act. I'm saying that the act aim in order to bestow determines the actions that we perform. Allah Sallam says that if society wants to be corrected, then anyone who doesn't want to be in that society should be cast off from that society without any mercy. What does that mean? Without any mercy, that even if we know, Baha'u'llah Sallam says that such a person that doesn't want that goal should be thrown away from society. If we see about a person that is harmful to society, then we'll throw him away from here, because he's harmful to society, and it's also correction for him. I don't know, maybe. Even in the last generation, he writes that there will be people who do not agree, but we will accept them because they're prepared to observe it, although they're not working like that. Meaning, in the lower will to receive, there are people that are so low that they're like animals. So they should just accept, take upon themselves such an existence without full recognition of it. General Malchut includes in it desires that are very unique, low. 99% still, and only 1% growing. So, you know, I don't know how to express it. He says that even in the last generation, there'll be all sorts of people. Man should say, the world was created for me, so that I'll correct the world by my inner actions. And if the world suffers because of me. Because of me. If I were corrected, the world would not suffer. That's what a person discovers little by little. He discovers that reality, that fact. And then it compels us. It obligates us to be responsible for everything that happens. He says that all the destruction and the killings, it is all because of Israel. If the people of Israel recognize it, things would look differently. Just imagine if we could accept that. We would feel ourselves responsible to blame. And indeed, it's like that. The world was created so that we correct it? No, I wouldn't say that. The world is not corrupted. We are. What's to correct in the world? The correction is only in the aim to bestow necessity with man. Should I correct the trees? The stones? Or the animals? Is there an aim in order to receive that we have to correct it in order to bestow? It is only in us. And in each and every one of us, only inside. That has to do with correction. Outside of me, there's nothing to correct. And I even can't correct it. We can't correct anyone else's aim. It's up to them. That's why it's the wisdom of the hidden, because no one can touch it but man himself. If I feel that I can't agree with the Creator, I want to rebel against him, curse him, what do I have to do about it? I want to eradicate that thought. Maybe I'm afraid that I'll be punished for that. Why do I think like that? Maybe I'll use that thought as a springboard from which to actually do something. It depends on who I ascribe everything that is done in me to. If, for example, that thought, if I ascribe it to the Creator, so the Creator sent me that thought purposely so that I do something with it. So I relate to that thought as an asset. And if I think that thought came from me, not him, not he is the reason, but I am, then immediately I want to eradicate it, hide it, to prevent it from doing any harm to me. It all depends on what cause we ascribe to it. Either we relate to reality as something we want to paint pink, or that we relate to it purposely and efficiently, effectively, beneficially. If I feel shame because I'm opposite to him, then it's shame the owner gave me. I want to eradicate the owner, or just leave this whole campaign, as long as I don't feel shame. But if I feel that he sends me that shame, that it comes from him for a reason, then it becomes a springboard. Even below the barrier, you don't think about the past. There is no past. The person who thinks about the past is like the wife of Lot. He becomes a block of salt. It doesn't corrupt. You can't eat it. You can't be without it. But only you can only add it to food. Justification of the past, that you went through that past in order to accumulate vessels, insights for the future. What do you think at the end of correction? You sit back and relax and think how you labored in the past, and now you're just fine. Now you're relaxed. I promise you that if you go on, you'll see that the past for you will mean completely nothing. Only as far as it concerns the present. That's it. You'll not think, but I didn't do this, I didn't do that. That was wrong. This was wrong, that was wrong. That attitude is wrong, because it's not you. You don't have to cross the barrier for that. That'll be way before it. If we correct everything in order to bestow, and we can fill ourselves up completely with the degree of the Creator, so why do we need to go back here? The whole path we go through. We need it in order to accumulate insights, build the vessel with all sorts of impressions. When that vessel is complete, I've taken all the impressions that I need, I understood everything, and everything is ordered correctly, then I actually have a vessel. Within that vessel, I can now receive the revelation of godliness completely, because it completely resembles Him. And what other reason is there that anything will change? There is cause and effect, but what other cause can there be that again I will go into breaking and a fall and correction again? What do we still have to retain? I'm talking about the end of correction, meaning that everyone, all the souls, come to the end of correction to equalize with the light, infinite light, as before. Not to be the light of infinite, but to be by the action to equalize with the light of infinite, which is called the Creator. I can't tell you what will happen then. Only then begins the afterwards. Now without a corrected vessel, you can't think about it. But then you'll have, only then will you be called an adult, mature person. At that point, He takes you as a partner to something that we don't know. You can't reach the end of correction if you're not in this world. End of correction is only when we live here physically in this world. If our aim is in order to bestow to the Creator, to 100%. Before the end of correction, Bala Salam says an introduction to to some of those feel that there's a face that one regrets in the pain of the public, and then he attains the consolation of the public. So if you can connect with all other souls, correct them, you're part of them, because I take their pain, their sorrow, absorb it in me and bring it up to the Creator, and for, and that way I am corrected for them and I correct them. What does it mean? It means I correct my own part that is in each and every soul. And when I have done, when I've corrected my part in those souls, it is called that I've reached the end of correction. That in all those vessels, there is the feeling of the end of correction, and that is called that I've reached the end of correction. How do other souls feel it? They'll just feel it a little bit. But it, in any way, even if they don't, it helps them on the way. Let's put it this way. 99% of humanity, all the souls except one, will come to the end of correction. So that one soul that has not yet begun to correct itself, this is theoretically, of course, but it already has 99% of it corrected. Because all those others that are corrected have corrected themselves, so they've corrected their own parts in that soul. So it doesn't feel that it's corrected by 99% because it doesn't have the vessel, means to correct it. Its point in the heart, it's still dead. But the minute it begins to work on that point, it'll immediately begin to feel that everything is ready for it, and already organized. So certainly the person who makes corrections to attain the end of correction, he by that helps all other souls. The connection between people that you can call society, that every all of them feel that they all feel that they cannot attain spirituality without the others. That's called society. In the most egoistic way, I have to have them, otherwise I'm dead. That's it. Just like any other society. It is not for no reason that they're called friends, group. They didn't use a different word for it. Because in this world too, if we want to succeed in something, we have to unite, we have to trust one another, etc. So here too, it is the same, only the goal is different. Something is called holy if it is aimed at the Creator. In order to bestow is holy. Why? Because holy is separated from in order to receive. The word holy in Hebrew comes from the word separated. Something devoted to one thing. That you ascribe something to just one single thing. Because in creation we have two parts only, not more, in order to receive and in order to bestow. So holy is something that is separated. Instead of holy, you can say separated. Simple. Separated from me, that I still don't have it, haven't acquired it yet. Separated is something that's not in my own nature. The more a definition is simple, the better it is. The preparation to fill the gap between me and the Creator. The preparation is only in the desire to know Him. When I want to know Him, when I begin to discover Him, I see that He is opposite from me. I can't prepare myself to know Him as opposite. I don't know, but opposite. The fact that I want to discover the point in the heart, something higher than myself. By that, I want Him to know, to see Him, or the upper reality, whatever. We're still confused. We think that all these things are different. The spiritual world, the Creator, and worlds and upper reality, that they're all many things and not one. It's not like that. What you discover is only the Creator. Your connection with the Creator is called the worlds. Degrees. Just like you and I are. We have a relationship. Today we're closer. Tomorrow we're farther. You ask, I answer. I ask, you answer. These are worlds. Only the connection. The sensation, the Creator, in the creature, changes all the time. Right, left, Roshimot, influences, awakening from below. There are many reasons for the change of sensations. The vessels are rocked all the time. Our sensation changes all the time. It changes all the time. If it weren't for the Hashimot from within that attracted the lights from outside, we wouldn't change. What changes us? I myself can't change. The lights change us. Lights meaning the Hashimot.